Welcome once again to Phantom Island, presented by Homefield. It's me, Ryan Nanny, and I am here today to talk about football. College football? Nope. Pro football? Nope, not that one either. I'm bringing Roger Sherman on to talk about flag football, specifically flag football coming to the Summer Olympics in 2028. Roger has a great Substack called Read Rog, which you can find at rodgerseherman.substack.com. This is also your regular reminder that you can support this show, get access to all of our episodes, and at certain levels, submit questions or possible topics by going to phantomisland.show and signing up for a paid membership today. We appreciate all the support you've shown us so far. All right, let's go ahead and get into the great flag debate. Roger Sherman, you have come here today to talk about the sport of flag football as a whole. To sort of get us into that topic, you want to talk about a player who is 5'7" tall. By the time the 2028 Summer Games come around, he will be nearly 40 years old. He went to an HBCU in Louisiana. That is an NAIA school. He did not. He was not like a track star or something. And yet he is kind of the perfect foil of sorts, or the fulcrum maybe, for where flag football is right now. Can you tell us a little bit about the man known as Hoosh Doucette?
Hoosh Doucette, the face of flag football in the United States, I would say. Nicknamed because of his resemblance to Bengals receiver TJ Houshmandzadeh. And he, not only has he won a bunch of gold medals as the quarterback for the USA flag football team, various world championships at the 2022 World Games, he was the starting quarterback. They won last year's flag football championship. Also, he is the person who people yell at online because every few months, there's like a new development about flag football being a part of the 2028 LA Olympics. You know, like first it was like, we're putting it on the short list for the Olympics. Now it's in the Olympics. Now we're potentially adding NFL players. And every time someone will interview Hoosh, and he will give, in my opinion, a very honest and fair answer, which is like, you know, we know that NFL players would like to participate in the Olympics and we welcome their participation, but I think I should have the opportunity to play on the team as well, having won all of these world championships. And I see people talking about Tyreek Hill or Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson being on the team, and it feels unfair because I've worked so hard to be here. The quote he gave in May when the NFL confirmed that they would allow players in was, flag guys deserve the opportunity. This sport that we played for a long time, I feel like we're the best at it and we don't need other guys. We're open to competition. If those guys come in and ball out and they're better than us, hats off to them. Go win the gold medal for our country. And every time he says this, people get so mad at Hoosh Doucette and just roast and obliterate and personally insult him and yell at him for what, in my opinion, is a take that he totally deserves to make, having won all these gold medals and actually being one of the best flag football players in the world. But people are so pre-locked in on the idea that if we're putting flag football in the Olympics, NFL players should play in it. And on the other side of the coin, NFL players are really, really, really good athletes and can probably beat people at sports they've never played before. And but, they've kind of played flag football.
Okay, but that's the part I want to drill down on, because I think both what Doucette is saying and why people get prickly about it are both predicated on maybe a lack of nuance as to like what makes flag football different. So like the most obvious part is the flag bit, but like what if I turn on my television in 2028 and I'm watching flag football in the Olympics, what about it is going to look different to me than watching an NFL game or a college football game?
I mean, it is an entirely different sport, and they've been playing it in various international tournaments for years now. The International Federation of American Football has put in place flag football rules that are probably more standardized than what you might be used to when you think about flag football. Obvious stuff: no blocking, no tackling, no contact for the most part. The field is very tiny. The scores are very high. Like, the thing that stands out to me when I turn it on is it's only like half the width of an NFL field. Like, it's about 25 yards side to side, and you see teams putting up 50, 60 points. But really, I mean, fundamentally, the like, when I think about what makes football football, tackling, hitting, blocking, all of these things are, you know, day one, we drill these into you for middle school. And to make it to the NFL at any position besides kicker or punter, you have to be pretty physically built. You know, even at positions that we don't think of as physical, you have to be tall enough to see over the line. If you're a quarterback, you have to be able to take hits or know how to, you know, avoid hits. Running backs, obviously, wide receivers all still have to figure this out. Anyone on defense has to tackle, and none of those are necessarily are at all requirements to play flag football.
This also sort of makes me wonder, like, where are we currently getting flag football players from? Like, I don't understand, like, is there a feeder system? Is there sort of a, like, oh, you know, most of the time these are, like, guys who played this sport or that sport? Is there any sort of, like, existent history of, like, yep, they are guys who played college football and were too small to play in the NFL or something like that? Is there, like, is there any natural overlap between playing tackle football and being a high-level flag football player?
It's a thing that might be changing over time. In the past, players who have broken through onto, like, the elite national and international flag football scene haven't always had tackle football background. Sometimes they do. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at the roster for this year's men's flag football team, which is going to be competing in I think, like, a continental championship, they have a guy, Jadeon High, who played wide receiver at Texas Tech. There's a player on the roster, Mike Daniels, who is a safety at West Virginia. In the past, they had a guy named Bruce Mapp, who recently retired, who was a receiver at Coastal Carolina. So there are some guys who are making that transition from tackle football. But, like, Hoosh, I think his primary sport is bowling, like, before he broke into the flag football scene. And the head coach of the team, who used to be a quarterback and won several gold medals as the quarterback of the team, George Cascudo, he was a varsity baseball player in college at a NAIA school, and then, like, started playing flag football. And typically what happens is, like, and I've interviewed some of the guys on the team for various stories. There was a story I was going to write last year. I didn't end up writing it, but I interviewed a bunch of the guys on the team and the head coach. And it's like, it really is a thing where in the past, it was like, oh, you joined a rec league with some buddies, you know, an after work league. Then, like, maybe you won the championship of that league, or you found out that there was some money league in, like, another city. Like, you know, if we go to Orlando or Kansas City or Dallas or whatever, there was, like, a tournament that we found out we could win $10,000. So we went to that and we won that. And then people were like, hey, there's actually a national team. And it kind of actually is often people who started playing it recreationally rather than through some, like, varsity pipeline, because those don't exist, at least for men. They are now more and more turning flag football into a varsity sport for girls in high school and at some colleges. And there are already players on the women's team who have actually come up, like, as a varsity flag football player.
As developmental prospects of sorts.
Yes. But the thing is, ever since it became clear that this might be an Olympic sport, that this will be an Olympic sport, that the interest in playing it has gone through the roof when, you know, among the elite players. So a lot of these guys who have been grinding on the flag football scene for years are now getting a bunch of people asking them, you know, hey, how do I become a part of this? And of course, you're seeing college players and NFL players taking that interest, maybe I could be a part of this on the Olympic level. So the like roster breakdown might change, but in the next few years, as we get closer to 2028.
Okay, so as you like, May of this year is sort of when there's a turning point where the NFL officially sort of says, like, yep, we're going to allow our players to participate in flag football for the Olympics. There's like a lot of details that aren't involved in that. Has anybody sort of set out, like, this is how this is going to work? If, like, if an NFL player wants to try out for the U.S. flag football team, this is the path by which, what is the sort of like movie montage version of this look like? Does anyone have a clue how this all will play out?
We are 3 years away from the Olympics. You would think so. I'm going with no, I would say no. No, they have not figured that out yet. There is a process which they have used to select national teams, like for things like the World Championships last year. They had a training camp in Charlotte, and I think there were 60 or 80 guys. And the guys who are on the team, when I interviewed them, they say every year when we come back to these camps, there are more and more people, and the competition is better and better. But, I mean, there's been all this hype about getting the NFL players involved and all these stories and, you know, speculation and social media posts. Who are you going to put as quarterback on the team? And all of that really still needs to be ironed out. The Olympics are like going to be during NFL training camps, or at least during, you know, they haven't officially announced the 2028 NFL schedule yet. But like normally training camps start in the end of July. The Olympics start July 14th, 2028 and carry through the end of that month. So like presumably someone would have to opt out of that training camp. And also, like, probably, hopefully, you would hope, start prepping and training with the flag football team months ahead of time. And they haven't really said how that process would work and, like, what protections would be in place in case of an injury. The last place it was left, the NFL owners voted basically saying, we're giving the league permission to negotiate with the NFLPA on the details of that. I would hope that it's a scenario where they continue with like the training camps and team trials that they've had in the past, but just like if you're an NFL player and you'd like to be a part of this, you know show up and you hypothetically have learned the rules of the sport and how to play it beforehand and, you know, try to earn your spot. That's what I would hope, but they have not announced.
So I'm asking you to sort of like work with me hypothetically here. There's a possibility that we will ask NFL Pro Bowlers to show up to an open tryout and maybe tell them, like, hey, thanks for coming. Like, here's your t-shirt, but you didn't make the team. Like, you are.
That's what I want. Like, that's what I hope that it's like, you know, first of all, you'd have to imagine there would be more NFL players than spots. Normally there are 12 players per roster. And, you know, presumably they're going to be more than 12 NFL players interested. So some of them might not get on the team, even if it was just among those NFL players. But I think it would just be so devastating if after all these years, we don't give the players who have won all these championships a chance to continue playing.
So let's walk all the way back to, like, how does the NFL get involved with flag football as an Olympic sport in the first place? And, like, maybe this is callous of me, what's the angle here? Like, why is the NFL, like, even participating in this in the first place?
So, flag football in the Olympics has been something that, like, you could see coming for a while. It's something I did a podcast in 2021 for The Ringer, about basically how all signs are pointing to the fact that the NFL and the Olympics were going to push for this. And then they did. And then, you know, I was like, hey, listen to this podcast I made 3 years ago. And hopefully some people, and now I'm on a different podcast talking about that other podcast from 4 years ago, which is, you know, great. But like, it's such a synergy moment for, like, these two massive international organizations. You know, the Olympics, like, if you were in charge of the Olympics, if you inherit the Olympics from your father, Steve Olympics, the
Steve
second,
Olympiad, yeah.
And you're in charge, and what would be the things you would try to change about the Olympics?
Gosh, I mean, there's a lot I could go with, but I think amongst them, and maybe this is what you've seen in recent Olympics, recent games, is like, hey, let's add some new sports. Let's try some things that we haven't done before and see if we can, like, get people who already like those things to come over here and watch that sport here. The same way that, like, you know, the Dream Team sort of, like, made Olympic basketball have a profile that I think it didn't really have before that, necessarily.
At Steve Olympics the Third, you have very similar goals to the people in charge of the IOC. Like, one of the problems with the Olympics is it involves all these old, crusty, expensive sports, your fencing, your equestrian, that people don't follow for the other 4 years, and that people don't play, that there are only a few thousand people in the world participating in this sport, and they're all rich. And that's something you want to change, especially, you know, you want the TV numbers to remain big. So they introduced this program where each new Olympic host gets to pick five new sports. And they should be sports that are somewhat relevant to your country. So it adds a little local flavor. They want them to be sports that are youth oriented. And they want them to be sort of low, sustainable. Like, you know, we don't have to build a new stadium for it. We don't have to, you know, add 150 athletes. It should be small. Let's say now you're, they're all named Steve. Let's say you're Steve NFL the Fourth, and you're inheriting the NFL from your father.
Yeah.
Chip NFL. He's the second or the third.
Sure. I think, yeah.
And you were trying to figure out how to make more money.
I mean, the NFL playbook right now, I can just copy this one as well. They're, you know, between playing in Brazil and Germany and Spain and London, obviously, and Australia before too long, like, they want to make this a global sport. I imagine they look at probably cricket and soccer, and they're like, we need something like that. We need something where we have, like, we're not just the biggest U.S. sport. We are one of the biggest sports across the world.
Yeah, I mean, you'd see that in any sport, but, like, especially in football, they have maxed out fandom in the United States. They dominate everything. They do whatever they want. You know, they could add extra games or extra weeks to the schedule.
Yes, they can stomp all over college football and say, nope, those are our days now. NBA, Christmas, not anymore. That's an NFL day.
But really, the growth perspective is there's one country, that one very rich, very populous country where you're the most popular sport, and 200 others where nobody really cares. So obviously, you've seen them doing the global games, you know, Spain now, Germany, Brazil. But one of the things they want to do is expose themselves to a global audience through the Olympics. And flag football makes a lot of sense. It's you could actually play a tournament in a week, unlike tackle football. Mm-hmm. There have been world tackle football championships, but they're pretty bleak and they're very hard to organize. I don't know if you remember this. When we worked together at SB Nation, I went to the World Tackle Football Championships in Canton, Ohio.
I do remember this.
And Team USA won. You might ask who won the next one. There hasn't been a next one. That was 10 years ago. And the pandemic is partially responsible for that. One of them was canceled by the pandemic, but, like, it's impossible to have a tackle football championship in 2 weeks, and who would want to play in it?
Well, and it also requires, like, a level of roster building and specific skill set that, like, if you are a smaller country and you're like, we need to find 12 athletic guys who are fast and twitchy, but they don't need to be. We don't need anybody who's 300 pounds and can run a 4.8. Like, we don't, like, that's not a skill set we need. We don't need anybody who can get around the edge and blow up a quarter. Like, it feels like Flag is in some ways better geared towards, like, the boxes you need to check are not as intensive as they are in 11-on-11 tackle football.
There are a bunch of things going for it from their perspective. Like, for make it international, yes, you can imagine a team beating the United States, hypothetically, much more easily than in tackle football. It's easier to get people to play in other countries just in terms of, like, the equipment. Like, you know, it's hard for you to get 11 pads and
22 sets of pads and
the goalposts. There's no kicking.
Okay.
Although kicking tends to be something that people from other countries are better at than than we are here in the United States. Also, a big selling point that the NFL sees as a big win is that it's, you know, there have been women's tackle football leagues, but they see it as a way to have female athletes playing and reach out to the other half of human beings that are alive by saying this is a sport you can play and be a star in. There also have been women's tackle football championships internationally, which, yes, the U.S. has also won those. They've held one of those more recently than they've held a men's tackle football championship. But there are a lot of reasons that this seems like the best way to get people from across the globe into the sport and playing the sport. You know, it's kind of odd to tell people in Brazil or Australia, watch this sport that you've never played before. So it seems like a good way to get into those markets. So the NFL goes to the LA 2028 Olympic Committee and, you know, says flag football. And the Olympics were pretty eager to work with them. I did this other interview 4 years or when I was doing that podcast series with the guy who was the head of the World Flying Disc Federation.
Okay.
Which is Ultimate Frisbee, but they're not allowed to say Frisbee for trademark reasons. And, you know, he gave his pitch on why Ultimate should be in the Olympics. And it was a really convincing pitch to me. He was like, it's accessible. It's youth oriented. We'll keep the roster small. People across the world love it. We've held international competitions before. We're played in 100 plus countries. We made it a logo, and he showed me the logo. I think it was on a Frisbee that he like presented to the LA 2028 people. But I just pictured like he gives that presentation and it's nice. And then like Roger Goodell shows up and it's like, well,
bag of NFL money and importance and all of that.
And, and they're hosting the opening ceremony in the Rams Stadium.
Okay.
And the swimming. So like that's a relationship they want to have. Like it just felt like when the NFL came to them with that pitch, there was no way they were going to lose to any of these other sports that are trying to get into the Olympics. Like you can really see what they were trying to accomplish and why the Olympics were so eager to make it happen. And it's also puts this kind of thing into play where like the NFL obviously wants its stars to be involved and wants the USA team to be good. But I mean, if you're trying to globalize the sport, wouldn't it be fun if the United States was not going to run away with all of the games?
Let's pause ever so briefly to thank our presenting sponsor, Homefield, for their support of Phantom Island. Now, you might think of comfortable hoodies or shirts from your favorite college teams when you think Homefield, but did you know they have been on an absolute heater when it comes to hats lately? This summer, Homefield has dropped tons of new hats for schools like Tennessee, Notre Dame, Penn State, Oklahoma, and more, and they're so good that they have made me consider the risk of being asked about being a fan of one of these teams in public, even though that's not necessarily the experience that I want. That's how ridiculously great these hats look. You can check them out and the rest of Homefield's offerings by going to homefieldapparel.com today. Back to my chat with Roger. You've sort of alluded to the fact that Hoosh and his teammates have been very good at this sport, and I believe on the women's side, we've also seen a lot of American success in flag football internationally. So, like, is the assumption that these are gold medals that we might as well just sort of tally up for the U.S., or are there other countries that, like, we should be wary of and that potentially could take that title from the Americans?
The USA has lost in international competitions before. They did not win any of the first four IFAF flag football championships. I don't think they sent teams to all of them. On the women's side, they didn't win one until 2018 when they held the World Games here in Alabama. I don't know if the World Games, I should explain, are like the Olympics, but for sports that aren't in the Olympics yet, mm-hmm. which, and for some reason it was held in Birmingham, Alabama in 2022. Like, I feel like people in Alabama who are listening will be like, yes, I remember that event and it was a big deal. And everyone else is like, what are you?
What off-brand Olympics are you hallucinating right now?
You guys made a Kirkland Signature Olympics and didn't tell me about it. Signature is always the team that I the thing that I put in, but I love Kirkland's signature.
Products. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a useful way of explaining the off-brand nature without being negative. So I think that's fine. But how did we do? How did we do in the World
Games? United States women's team lost to Mexico at the World Games.
Okay.
And like the possibility is there for that to happen. And like the NFL was, I think, pretty chuffed with like the fact that, so like the next year at the, like during the Super Bowl, they like ran a commercial with, Team Mexico's quarterback, Diana Flores. She was like the star of the commercial, showing that like women and people from across the world are playing flag football. So it's possible there have been some, but then again, you also look at it and you see the United States men's team has won five in a row, mm-hmm. five world championships in a row. The United States women's team has won three world championships in a row. And you mentioned the dream team earlier, and that's sort of regarded as this thing that, like, for basketball really globalized it, and people loved seeing Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen win those games by so much, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson. I'm not going to name all 12 players. But like that kind of sparked the ability for 12 years later, the USA to lose. But like, if you look at the flag football championship scores, it feels like the USA is getting farther and farther away from the rest of the world as we realize that this is like a competitive event that our football players can turn to after their tackle careers end. And like, mm-hmm. we legitimize it and we put funding behind it and people think of it as like a serious sport you can play. Like, it almost feels to me like in other countries, the idea of playing flag came like, in international competitions kind of existed before it existed here. And yeah. now we're starting to focus on it. The last world championships in September in Finland, Team USA wins the championship game 53-21 over Austria. And that was their second closest game of the tournament. They won every game by a lot. And like, you think about 3 years from now, we'll have probably a larger talent pool of players, you know, like I said, who played Division I football and then decided to train to be in the Olympics in this.
Yeah. And, yeah. Or you were like a that. Senior in high school when this was announced and you were like, boy, I bet I could be pretty good at that in 3 years.
Yeah. And as it gets legitimized in our minds more, you could, I almost think your chances of winning gold's are going to go up the more we know about this here in the United States, with all due respect to, you know, every other country on earth. Sorry to every other country on earth. I didn't mean to just throw you under the bus like that.
Well, my other sort of speculative question there is the Olympics. I'm going to try to not bungle this as best I can, but sort of the rules about who can play for which country in the Olympics are not standardized. My understanding is they're sort of set by the organizing body of the sport, which is why maybe track athletes or basketball players follow a different path than like baseball players or something like that. So is there some The NFL doesn't necessarily strike me as quite a as much of an international sport domestically as like the NBA, certainly. But like, is there some chance that we're going to see some players say like, well, you know what? My grandfather was Finnish, and so I'm going to go play for, my grandmother was Korean, so I'm going to go play for that team. Like, is there some possibility that we're thinking of this too narrowly in terms of like NFL players will play for the US team and that in fact they may spread out and make the competition more even or more zesty, I guess, from that perspective?
So, you're sort of correct in that.
I'll take sort of correct. Yeah.
In that sports, it is a little bit up to international governing bodies, but like to be in the Olympics, it says in the Olympic Charter, you like have to be, I think the wording is like a citizen or national of the country involved. Like, so that applies to any like Olympic sport, even if you're like, you know, if you ever watch the World Baseball Classic, they really mess with the
nationality. That is probably the most like, I like Italian food, so I play for Italy now.
Yeah, the Italian team is stacked sometimes with guys who have never been to Italy. So the Olympics does say like you must have a passport from that country.
Okay.
But you could still, first of all, there are more and more players from across the world coming to the NFL every year. It's something they're pushing. You know, they're putting players, there's the international player pathway. But not all of those guys are necessarily going to be at positions that make sense in flag football.
Yes.
You know, if you look
apologies to Jordan Mailata.
Yeah. I mean, his thing is that he's the world's largest, most massive, giant human, and that unfortunately is not going to be a factor in.
Sure, it made him a hell of a rugby player, but maybe less effective as a flag football player.
Yeah, they, I mean, put him out wide. We'll see what happens. He's a big target.
Yeah.
But that's gonna hamper it to a certain extent. The other thing, and I haven't really seen anyone talk about this, like the world championships of flag football have 32 teams. But like I said, if you're one of these optional sports at the Olympics, they try to keep the rosters or the amount of additional athletes you bring in small. Mm-hmm. So there are only going to be six teams in each gender in the flag football tournament. And they haven't really said how they're going to qualify yet. So, like, there's no guarantee that even if you were to see someone like, you know, Kyler Murray saying, I have Korean ancestry, I'd like to play for that team, or, you know, one of the countries in Oceania that has players in the league, or, like, Amon-Ra St. Brown is from Germany. Like, I think those teams would have to qualify of their own accord with the flag football players they have, presumably.
Because they're probably not getting NFL players to be like, yeah, I'll commit 2.5 years to the qualification process to get us the Olympics in the first place.
So I haven't seen any breakdown of how they're going to pick those six teams. But like if it's off world rankings or something like that, like there's no guarantee that even those players will be from that country. But I mean, you could imagine a scenario where like the world rankings are what they are right now. But if like what if one of the countries that does get in happens to have 3 or 4 NFL players? And what if it turns out that the NFL players do have an advantage over flag pros, you know? Or alternately, what if the USA decides to stock their team with NFL guys and then it turns out that the guys who have been playing flag football their whole lives from Austria just go out and actually are better than them? That I think is the funniest scenario.
I don't think anybody has said anything about this publicly, in part because I suspect if you're the US flag football team, you're not really interested in angering the NFL or angering NFL fans online. But is there some sense of like, hey man, this is not broke. Like, why would we have a successful team that competes on this level against the level of competition that we're going to, like, why are you trying to mess with it? Is there some sense of like, please don't do this. Like there's not a lot of upside and there is a lot of potential downside because the sport is very different.
I mean, that's our guy Hoosh has said that he is fighting the masses one-on-one. He is a very prideful man. And he has made that point and said, yeah, we're like, everyone is, I agree with you. People say, well, you got to let these NFL players in. They're such great athletes. But look at the record that this team has. They're already winning these games by 40 points. In the championship game. And like, it's one thing where like, so there's been a lot of criticism of kind of a similar thing, which is the 3-on-3 basketball at the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say there's a lot of criticism, I mean, I get mad about it a lot where like they haven't put NBA players on those teams and it hasn't worked. The USA team is not very good. They lost in the quarterfinals at the World Championships recently. They did not medal in 2024. They did not qualify in 2021. And like, so you're putting out the guys who are the quote unquote specialists in that sport and their sport has a lot of overlap. It seems to me like with the skills involved in 5-on-5 basketball, and it's not working. Like, you probably should lean out and see if there's an NBA guy interested in doing this. It has worked on the women's side. They have WNBA players swap in and win medals. Flag football, the fact that they do have this history of winning, this history of dominating, like, I think you have to factor that in. I mean, it's working. These guys know how the game works, and like we'll see how they make these decisions in a few years. But I hope the flag guys get a shot.
So I think the great unknown here, and Hoosh has a view, NFL fans have a view, I'm sure NFL players have a view too. Like if we got down to it and we said, okay, it's open tryouts and anybody can like, hey, you know what? Like, here we go. Jalen Hurts, go ahead. You've been an ambassador for this on the NFL side. Now it's your time to sort of try out and see if you can crack the US team. Does anybody have a sense of like whether NFL players would dominate the existing flag football players, or what kind of players would fit well with this? Like, how can you possibly sort of like predict how this might go?
So I get, like I said, I was reporting out an article a couple years ago and I interviewed 5 guys on the team, and I think 4 of them brought up this one game that has achieved legendary status in the flag football community, which is the 2018 championship of the American Flag Football League. The idea behind this league was it was a pros versus Joes bracket, and it was broadcast on the NFL Network, and you can go on YouTube and watch it. And I have gone on YouTube and watched it, and they filled it up. It was played in an MLS stadium, and there were not that many people in the MLS stadium, but they still had like really bold introductions with like fire and smoke and stuff.
Yeah, sure.
And
sure.
So the one team of NFL players shows up and the team of the flag guys shows up, led by our guy Hoosh, and they're retired NFL guys. It's like the quarterback was Seneca Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
We had let me run down the roster. Seneca Wallace, Jason Avant, Javid Best, Justin Forsett, Jacoby Jones, James Ahedebo, like, who was on the
these
Jets.
Are like,
they're guys.
These are
guys.
These are guys not just who like played in the NFL, but like a lot of these guys started in the NFL, had like lengthy careers. These are not like, oh, I remember him. He got drafted in the 7th round and he never played a game in his life.
Fly guys smoked him 26-6. And it's like a Joe Namath thing that like they like are talking about to this day as like the proof of concept that we can we can win this. We, you know, we studied flag football. Those guys might be great athletes. Those guys might be famous, but we studied the sport. We play it all the time. We have a skill set. And so there are some caveats, which is like, those are retired guys, as opposed to hypothetically us putting out the best players.
Active.
Like, yeah. And like, they didn't, you know, who knows, that their coach was Michael Johnson for some reason, the Olympic sprinter. So like,
okay,
I don't know why, what his flag football coaching credentials were to make that decision.
Gold but shoes. Like, it, he has cool
it's
gold
not
shoes.
Like, it's not like that could be a factor when we're putting together the rosters, who has cool shoes. But like, I mean, it's definitely, I think the argument that like, these guys are just on a different level, like we know how great athletes they are, and we know that some of the players on the flag team would have loved to have a career in the NFL. It certainly would be more profitable. It would be make them more famous. But they do have skill sets designed for this. They have trained for it. I mean, the thing they say to me, or the thing they said to me, and there's a video of Hoosh interviewing Tyreek Hill like at the Pro Bowl, and he's like, how are you going to learn how to take people's flags off? How are you going to learn how to like guard your flags? And Tyreek Hill was like, I'll figure it out. Who are you? And didn't realize that he was the he was like, Tyreek Hill says like, who's on the flag football team? And he's like, me. And I don't know, it's just a great moment. I was rooting for Hoosh. So like, the players who have transitioned from tackle to flag say that it really is like, you really do have to retrain yourself to, you know, not play. If you're on defense, your every instinct you've had for 20 years playing this sport is to throw your body at the guy, and instead you have to make this pretty precise hand-eye motion where you go for the flag. And if you're not trying to bowl over the guy, or really you're not necessarily even trying to avoid them if you're running with the ball, because they're getting out of your way, you have to like subtly move your hips in these like patterns that make it hard for them to get your flags. So there are those details, but I do kind of think like, if you're a wide receiver in the NFL, and I think they might be able to transition pretty easily into playing flag football wide receiver. Like, I think at, you know, there are only five guys on the field. You're going to want guys who play wide receiver, guys who play cornerback. Like, it, as difficult and real as that transition is going to be to learn those specific skills, it, like, there will be a lot of overlap at cornerback, at wide receiver. My super hot take that I saved as a little nugget until the end of our podcast for is that I think they should have a flag quarterback on the team, like, who just like knows the rules, understands how the plays work, understands how the defenses work. Like, the things we select for in NFL quarterbacks are like arm strength and size, and you know, you need
height's important height. In the NFL, it's like, you got to see over the line and you got to be able to take a beating back there. None of that shit happens in flag football.
And like, what you need is like, guy who will make one man miss because there's no blockers, so if someone blitzes, it's just you and them, and just quick, short, smart decisions. Like, let's send out Hoosh. He knows the rules. He knows how the sport works. He will be 40, and he is 5'7", but he's the guy. He's the guy who's been doing it. And throw out some NFL wide receivers and make it. That's what, again, we'll see how the trials go and how stuff works and what decisions are made with the NFLPA. But like, I think that'll work. And you know, my man deserves it, and he's been fighting online, and people have been yelling at him.
I should have asked you this before we started recording. If you're the quarterback, do you play defense too? Are all these guys potentially playing both ways?
So there's 12 roster spots and five guys on the field at all times.
Yeah.
So you need players who will play both ways.
Who can rotate. You know,
I'm going with a binder to meet Travis Hunter, and I'll yell at him and say you should play on the USA flag football team. But yeah, Hoosh plays defense a lot. In the big pros versus Joes game, he like had this great tackle at the 1 yard line, and then on the next play someone else had a pick six, and it was like, so yeah, you do have to, a lot of the guys do play both ways, and the quarterback will play both ways sometimes. Think about like the best throw that you've ever seen a quarterback make.
Sure.
That throw does not even fit on the flag football field.
It's wildly out of bounds.
It's 25 yards wide. It's like numbers to numbers, you know,
yes.
Like if you are snapping the ball at the halfway line or, you know, at the middle of the field, it's 10 yards to one side and 10 yards to the other side. Like the farthest throw you will have to make is just, we require NFL quarterbacks to have that arm strength that just literally is not useful at all here.
There is one thing, if it's okay, I'd like you to keep an eye on going forward, because there's no way this information is out. I really want to know who they're going to get to do announcing in color commentary for flag football, because I'm really curious how much our like existing NBC announcer types can get in the headspace for this game that is very different. I'm wondering if they're going to go with somebody like, do you go with somebody existent? Do you pull somebody new? I don't know. Like, that's just the thing I want you to pin for later, if that's okay.
I mean, NBC got Scott Hansen for the last Olympics. You remember he was doing the Gold Zone?
That's right.
We can just throw him out there. I feel like NBC is going to do a big thing where like they have Collinsworth and Tirico doing those games, and like all the same, like like, you know how for the Olympic basketball, they'll play Round Ball Rock.
Yeah.
Like they'll play they'll have Carrie Underwood.
They'll do all the same things.
I've been waiting all day for Tuesday afternoon.
For Wednesday evening.
USA and Austria in a flag football showdown.
25 yard wide field.
Carrie does record all of the little, you just made it seem like they will.
No, you're
like,
right. I shouldn't besmirch the production efforts here. That's my fault. I apologize. Thanks again to Roger for joining me on today's episode, to our producer, Michael Serber, and our sponsor, Homefield. And last but certainly not least, to you for listening to Phantom Island. We are an independent show without some big podcast network backing us, so I'm going to ask a quick favor of you. If you like this show, make one post wherever you want telling people about Phantom Island and to check out what we're doing over here. We'll see you next time.